God bless you. Welcome to today's teaching. I'm very excited to teach this particular topic. And before I do that, I would like to pray with you, ask the Holy Spirit for grace, for His help in understanding the scriptures we're going to read and learn. So Holy Spirit, thank you for coming to our help today. We ask for your favor upon us. I ask you, Lord, for your favor upon me as I try to teach, rather. And I thank you for everyone listening to this teaching today. Everyone here to have your personal assistance in understanding the Holy Scriptures. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I would like for you to open your Bibles and go to the book of Philippians. We'll read from chapter 1, verse 29. Philippians chapter 1, verse 29. For unto you it is given in the behalf of Christ, not only to believe on Him, but also to suffer for His sake. So today's topic is suffering, or grace given to us to suffer. I know there are two extremes about teachings or views about suffering. One school of thought says we are called to suffer and we should suffer, we should gladly suffer. It is God's will. And the other extreme view is that as children of God, we don't have to suffer, we should not suffer. We are called to be victors and we are called to walk in the victory that the Lord Jesus has given to us. Well, without going to any of those controversies, we will simply study this passage in its context, and then we will look at some of the things I understand is true and correct. Then I will leave it. Then I would, of course, want you to study it on your own and get your confirmation from the Holy Spirit, and then walk on it. So here it says, God has given you the privilege not only to believe in Christ, but also to suffer for Him. Now, the word suffer here means to experience a painful sensation or impression. Other words for suffering would be hardship, adversity, or persecution. Some versions say that God has given you the privilege or honor of believing in Him and suffering for Him. So it's a privilege, it's an honor. But the word granted or privilege or honor in the Greek would mean a grace given to you. So look at that. God has given you the grace to suffer. Wow. Grace to suffer. Through your suffering, God gets the glory. That's not what I really want to hear. Grace, of course, is welcome. I like it. I understand it a little bit, and I am just happy. I'm excited that there's grace upon me. But grace to suffer, I don't really know if I really want it. But through suffering, God gets the glory. I'm not convinced. I think most of you would agree with me on that. In our previous studies, we learn that God loves us, and we learn about the grace of God, that because of His love, He gave us everything free. That is grace. And those teachings we really enjoyed, and I believe we all have started walking according to those truths we have learned. But in those teachings, we never heard about suffering. Suffering is something we do not want to talk about, I believe, and we would rather have nothing to do with it. But since the Bible tells us about suffering, and especially in this passage, it talks about the grace given to you to suffer, it will be good for us to know what it is. Now, in order to understand this statement of the Apostle Paul, let us read the verse in its context. So let's read verse 28, Philippians chapter 1, verse 28. It says, don't be afraid of your enemies, or do not let them intimidate you. So first of all, we are told not to be afraid of those who oppose us, or not to be intimidated or terrified by our enemies. In other words, it says, be brave when you face your enemies. The opposition is a proof that those who oppose you will perish, but you will be saved, because you have been given this honor, or you have been given this grace to suffer. So this suffering that we are talking about is in the context of the opposition or the intimidation or the adversities we face. Now let's read verse 27 also to understand this context, or to understand this suffering better. Verse 27 of chapter 1, the book of Philippians. It says, live as citizens who reflect the good news about Christ. Then, whether I come to see you or whether I stay away, I will hear about you. I will hear that you are firmly united in spirit, united in fighting for the faith that the good news brings. And here Paul is saying you must live in a way that brings honor to the good news about Jesus Christ. Your way of life is important. People should see the gospel of Christ in your lives. You should live gospel. Then Paul says, I am confident that you will stand as a team, you will work together, you will wrestle together and bring the gospel to others. When we live together according to the gospel, there will be opposition. I'll say this again. When you live together according to the gospel, there will be opposition. When you decide to live the gospel as an individual and as a family and as a church, there is going to be opposition. This opposition could be from your relatives, could be from your friends, your neighbors, your employers, or even from people whom you do not know. It could be from believers also and ministers of the gospel. So living by the gospel also, now you need to also understand when you live by the gospel, there are two things involved. You live by the standards set by God in the Word of God. So you do the things that you are supposed to do and you don't do the things you are not supposed to do. And also, another thing is you will start preaching or sharing the gospel with others, because that's one of the things you are called to do. And when you are opposed, the opposition or intimidation will cause heart pain. But grace is given to you to bear that pain. So far we know that grace is given to us so that we can suffer. So what we should do? We also learn that the suffering is a proof that we are going to win and our adversary is going to lose. If grace is given to me to suffer, and this suffering is in the form of tribulation, is in the form of adversities coming against me because I have decided to live by the gospel, what should I do? We need to be armed to handle trouble or trial. Let's turn to the epistle of Peter. 1 Peter chapter 4 verse 1. 1 Peter chapter 4 verse 1. For as much as then Christ has suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind. For he that has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin. Now this verse is, Christ suffered while he was in his earthly human form. The exhortation here is to arm yourselves, to equip yourselves with the same attitude or thinking that Christ had. Now what was Christ's attitude when he faced hardships? What do we do when we are faced with adversity? Usually, now what do you do, or what is our reaction, or how do we react when faced with adversities? Usually, we are shocked, we are puzzled, we are confused, we lose hope and faith, we complain and we ask, why me? Why is this thing happening to me? Now, by implication, why is this not happening to some other believer? We react because we are not prepared or armed. We do not have the weapons to fight or stop the enemy. Or we have not received the necessary training to use the weapons. What was Jesus Christ's attitude when he went to the cross? He saw the joy waiting for him and went to the cross without complaining or without being ashamed of the cross. This is in the book of Hebrews chapter 12 verse 2. He knew that later on he would be glad, and he did it. He could see the joy waiting for him. And what was that joy? The joy of disarming the principalities and powers forever. The joy of defeating Satan forever. The joy of making a public show of them so that this truth will be made known to all the saints. There was that joy of sitting you and I free from Satan's dominion. The joy of bringing so many children to God. He had the joy of making you and me the members of God's household. He had the joy of enabling you to beat the devil at every opportunity. Because Jesus Christ had that joy in his heart, he went to the cross without complaining, because he had set his heart on that joy that was going to be there. In the book of James chapter 1 verse 2, we read, there is an exhortation to us. We read, be happy, or count it joy, consider yourselves fortunate when you are tested or tempted, or when you are in trouble or trial. The word tested or tempted really means to put something to proof. In other words, to test something to prove. It could also mean discipline. So what will you do when you go through trials, adversities, persecutions, or tribulations? You will count it all joy. Now, so easy to say. So next time when you lose your job, what you do? You will say, praise the Lord. Why? Because you are getting an opportunity. And we will come to that in a moment. Next time somebody stand against you because you have decided to follow Jesus, what will you do? You will praise the Lord. You will be joyful. You will be happy. You will be excited. Why? Because you know there is something greater, something better is waiting for you. So you will pray for the people who persecute you. You will forgive them. Some of those who persecute you will eventually believe. And some of them may not. But the enemy will be defeated. And you will have the joy of not only living the word of God in the time of adversity, but also causing others to come into the kingdom of God. Therefore, count it all joy. Your faith is going to be tested, not just once or twice. There will be test every level. Paul wrote this in the book of Philippians, exhorting us to count it all, not count it all joy, informing us that there's a grace given to us to suffer when there is adversity, when adversity comes, or when there's an adversity because of the gospel, because you have decided to live by the gospel. When there's tribulations, when there's persecution, he said that grace is given to you. Now, to face that situation. Now, let's look at an example of Paul's own life. Let's turn to the second epistle of Corinthians, chapter 12. 2 Corinthians, chapter 12, verse 7. But I must not be too proud of the wonderful things that were shown to me. So a painful problem was given to me. An angel from Satan sent to make me suffer so that I would not think that I am better than anyone else. I begged the Lord 3 times to take this problem away from me. But the Lord said, my grace is all you need. Only when you are weak can everything be done completely by my power. So I will gladly boast about my weaknesses, then Christ's power can stay in me. In other versions, it says, Paul had a thorn in the flesh. So no matter how you phrase it, Paul had great opposition because of the enormity of the revelation he had been receiving, because of the amount of revelation he received from God for the kingdom, for the saints. Satan sent his messengers to persecute Paul, and Paul prayed to God. 3 times he prayed to God to remove that thorn from his life. Those messengers of Satan. And what did God do? Did God remove the people, the messengers of Satan who were troubling Paul? No, God did not. But God said, my grace is enough for you. Now, why did God say that? Why did God say, I'm not going to remove it, my grace is enough for you? What was that grace enough for? The grace given to Paul was enough to deal with the messenger of Satan. You have the grace to beat the devil every time he comes against you. You can beat the heck out of the devil or have a target practice every time he comes against you. God told Paul, my power works best in your weaknesses. Grace is God's empowerment. Grace is the power given to you when you cannot accomplish something with your own physical or mental power. So every time we are faced with adversity, every time we are faced with tribulations or persecutions, God has given you. You have that grace given to you by God, which is enough to face that situation and to face the enemy who is behind the situation. And in spite of your weaknesses, because when you're weak, God's grace is going to work magnificently in your life. Paul said, therefore, I take pleasure, I delight, I'm glad when I am weak, when I don't have any power of my own to deal with my enemy. I'm glad because now I know God's power is going to work in my life against my enemy, and that power is going to beat him up and the enemy is going to take the high. After God spoke to Paul, he changed his attitude towards his adversities, towards those messengers of Satan. With the grace of God, Paul was able to beat Satan. Nothing could stop Paul from living the gospel, as we can see from his life. He lived the gospel and he spread the gospel. Adversity will happen. Persecutions will come. Jesus said, in the world you will have tribulation. In the Gospel of John, chapter 16, verse 33. Great tribulation means great spiritual or emotional pressure caused by external or internal reasons. Paul said, we are appointed to suffer tribulation or persecutions in 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 3. Therefore, it's important that we are armed to face tribulations or suffering. You must have the strength to overcome whatever it is you are facing. God is not behind the trouble you go through. You know this well. James chapter 1, verse 13. When someone is tempted, he should not say that God is tempting. God cannot be tempted by evil, and God does not tempt anyone. When you are tempted, you are scrutinized. You are thoroughly examined and proved. The devil entices you with evil intention, but God will turn that into an opportunity so that you can prove. You can prove your faith. You can prove your trust in God. You can prove your resolute determination to walk according to the word. The Bible also gives us an assurance that you will not be tempted beyond your power to resist it. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. There isn't any temptation that you have experienced which is unusual for humans. God, who faithfully keeps his promises, will not allow you to be tempted beyond your power to resist. But when you are tempted, he will also give you the ability to endure the temptation as your way of escape. So God will give you the ability to endure the temptation. Please remember, the author of hardship is not God. It is Satan. But God grants permission to Satan to bring hardship on you or to put you through a test. Devil does not have free access to you. Remember this. Devil does not have free access to you. So God has to permit access to you. Unless God gives him permission, the devil cannot touch you. In the book of Luke, in the 22nd chapter, verses 31 to 32, we read an incident where the Lord Jesus Christ told Peter, "Peter, Peter, Satan has asked for you, God." And in that passage, you'll read that Jesus Christ did not say, "No, I did not grant him the permission," or that God did not grant him the permission. He said, "I prayed for you so that your faith will remain." And then he said, "And then when you are converted, or when you turn back to God, take care of your brother." During that test, Peter apparently failed. But the result of that failure was a victory, because Peter could see his own heart in the mirror, so as to speak. Before that test, he thought he loved Jesus. Before that test, he thought that he would die for Jesus or die with Jesus. He told the Lord boldly that, you know, "These people may run away from you, run away when you are caught, but I will stand here. I'm even ready to die with." That's what he thought, but that was not really in his heart. That was in his superficial mind, but not down in his heart. Deep down in his heart, he did not love Jesus as he thought he loved. So after that apparent failure, Peter had a realization of who really was. And he repented. He changed his thoughts. He turned to God. Later on, when Jesus met him and asked him, "Peter, Peter, do you love me?" His answer was, first he said, "Yes, Jesus, I love you." Second again, he said, "Jesus, I love you. Yes, Lord, I love you." But third time he said, "Lord, you know better." That test changed. It was a painful. Peter was heartbroken when he saw himself in the mirror, when he faced the reality of his own true nature. But that test allowed him to change his thoughts, to turn back to Jesus with a true heart. And he became one of the greatest apostles of all time. As you know, he was the leader of the church until Paul came into the scene. And even when Paul came, Paul went to the Gentiles, but he was the apostle to the Jews. And in fact, when you read the book of Acts, you will notice that even though Paul was the apostle sent to the Gentiles, Peter was the first one who went to the Gentiles and preached the gospel. So we can see him as one of the greatest apostles of the Lord. But he went through this test and came out victoriously. So that test changed Peter. So what we learn is God allows tests or trials in our lives. And God grants permission so that you can beat up the enemy, number one. Number two, the test will change your character. Number three, you become ready for the next level of promotion. As you can see from Peter's life, Peter was promoted as the leader of the apostles. If you remember, if you read that passage and if you read the context, you will see that there was a discussion in that passage about just before Peter went through that test, there was a, just before the Lord told Peter that the enemy had asked for him. There was a discussion among the apostles or disciples about who was the greatest among them. And of course, the Bible doesn't say what was the conclusion, but we don't know what exactly happened, but it was a discussion. And it seems to me that Peter projected himself as the leader, and there was issues that need to be handled, which were handled in that test. And after the test, he became qualified, or he was promoted to become that leader. Without that test, Peter could not have become a leader, because there were, I believe, there were issues of pride in his life. So I leave that to you to do your own study and learn from the Holy Spirit what it is. But I believe pride was one of the reasons why he had to go that test. In Luke chapter 10 verse 19, we read that Jesus has given us authority over all the power of the enemy. In Ephesians 1:17, we read that an immeasurable power is in us or works through us. In 2 Corinthians chapter 2 verse 14, Paul says, through the Holy Spirit, that I thank God who always leads us in victory because of Christ. Therefore, coming back to where we started, a grace has been given to us to suffer. You must have a correct attitude towards adversity, trials, temptations, tests, or hardships. If you have the correct attitude in adversity, you will never lose. You cannot lose if you stand on grace, on the grace that God has given to you. So you will win if you have the correct attitude towards tribulations, sufferings. It is our opportunity to beat the devil and bring more people into the kingdom. It is our opportunity to grow up to him who is the head. James said, count it all joy when you face adversity. So we're going to count it all joy. Our character is improved. Our capacity to endure the persecution will increase. And we will be promoted to the next level. Thank you. God bless you.